Avatar Chronicles 1, The Return of the Avatar, on one of the many parallel worlds in the multiverse. Prologue, New Britannia, 40 years ago. Courage. The shattered full moon of the lunar eclipse shone bright red in the night sky above Fallura Field. A lone white dove let out a mournful coo as it soared high above. Down below, tens of thousands of charred, frozen, and dismembered corpses littered the blood-stained battlefield, as healers tended to the few hundred surviving members of Lord British's army. Lord British lay on the grass, applying pressure to the deep sword wound in his side. A few feet in front of him were the shattered fragments of the amulet of Vazur, with which the evil Lord Shadowrain had unleashed the power of 8 of the 9 legendary dragons, gold, silver, bronze, copper, red, black, white, blue, upon New Britannia. Thankfully, once the Avatar had shattered the amulet with his Sword of Virtue, Lord Shadowrain lost control of the 8 dragons, and they flew back to their lairs and went to sleep. Lord British was surrounded by piles of bone dust, the remnants of Shadowrain's powerful army of undead warriors. Lord British's attention was drawn back to the present by the loud clanging of swords. He saw the Avatar and Lord Shadowrain locked in mortal combat in front of the celestial lunar rift. The Avatar's black and gold armor gleamed in the red moonlight.
"I was so close to summoning the celestial dragon, Ashara!"
yelled Lord Shadowrain, an imposing figure clad in red and black armor.
"Curse you, Avatar! Lord British stole everything that should have been mine! The throne, Lady Abrera, the woman I love! Why are you helping such an evil man?"
"No, Lord Shadowrain, you are mistaken," replied the Avatar. "Lord British is a good person and a rightful ruler."
"Avatar, why are you content being Lord British's lapdog? Our nation has grown weak and pathetic under Lord British's rule. In the days of old, we were known for the courage of our knights as we expanded our empire by conquering those who opposed us. Nowadays, the other nations consider us to be a toothless tiger, more interested in making peace instead of war. Join me, and together we can bring glory back to our nation,"
said Lord Shadowrain.
"Never. You were once a good person, but you have forsaken your virtues, and now driven by our dark desires. You are not worthy to rule over anyone,"
the Avatar shouted, as he swung his golden Sword of Virtue with all his might. The Sword of Virtue made a loud humming sound as it sliced through the air and made contact with Lord Shadowrain's massive, unbreakable ebony blade, Darkstorm. Lord Shadowrain's blade shattered into 100 pieces. Lord Shadowrain dropped the broken hilt and took a step back, a startled expression on his face.
"What? This cannot be!"
he said.
"Surrender, and Lord British may show you mercy,"
said the Avatar as he pointed his sword at Lord Shadowrain.
"Never! If I can't rule New Britannia, then I shall see it destroyed,"
bellowed Lord Shadowrain.
"But first, I shall make you pay for ruining my plans, Avatar. Feel my power!"
He began hurling bolts of red mystic energy at the Avatar, who deflected them away with his sword. Lord Shadowrain began glowing bright yellow as he unleashed even more powerful mystic energy bolts at the Avatar. The Avatar was slowly being pushed backward by the force of the bolts.
"Ha! You are no match for me, Avatar!"
said Lord Shadowrain, as one of the bolts struck the Avatar in the chest. The Avatar fell to his knees, momentarily stunned. Were it not for his enchanted armor, the Avatar would have been vaporized. Lord Shadowrain's eyes suddenly turned pitch black, and he levitated several feet upward. His body was now surrounded by a crackling globe of red mystic energy.
Now, all of you will die!
Lord Shadow Rain bellowed.
I will not let you destroy New Britannia,
said the Avatar, as he dropped his sword and hurled himself at Lord Shadow Rain. The Avatar felt agonizing pain as his flesh began to burn once he penetrated the outer surface of the energy globe and plowed right into Lord Shadow Rain.
No!
Screamed Lord Shadow Rain as they were both propelled through the celestial lunar rift. After they passed through the lunar rift, the Avatar saw the look of anger and disappointment in Lord Shadow Rain's face as he realized that he had been defeated.
Curse you, Avatar!
Shouted Lord Shadow Rain. The Avatar simply smiled. He knew that New Britannia was safe. His work was done. Now it was time to rest. Then everything exploded in a sea of red. Lord British heard a loud explosion and saw a giant plume of red energy erupt from the lunar rift before it was sucked back in and the lunar rift collapsed in upon itself and vanished. Everyone on the battlefield stood in shocked silence. Lord British was unaware that a small golden metal fragment had been propelled out of the lunar rift just prior to its collapse and had fallen at the Prophet Nistal's feet. Nistal quickly picked up the fragment and slipped it into his belt pouch before anyone could notice. Suddenly, the Avatar's Sword of Virtue shot up into the sky. It paused for a few moments as the 8 runes of virtue engraved in the hilt began glowing. Then, the sword suddenly vanished in a flash of light.
My liege!
Exclaimed Fire Lotus, as she rushed to Lord British's side and examined his wound. Few people knew that in addition to being the city's favourite taverner, Fire Lotus was also a highly skilled healer.
You are badly wounded. Let me apply this healing salve and bandage your wound,
said Fire Lotus.
Thank you, old friend. The wound does not appear to be responding to my healing spell, perhaps because of the enchanted ebony blade which Lord Shadowrain used to inflict it,
replied Lord British. Lord British sighed as Fire Lotus tended to his wound.
New Britannia has been saved, but at what cost? Thousands of my finest soldiers lie dead, and our greatest champion, the Avatar, has been lost,
he said.
This is a sad day indeed for all of New Britannia, my liege,
replied Fire Lotus.
But your man showed great courage in the face of insurmountable odds, and their sacrifices were not in vain. This terrible year-long ordeal is finally over, and we can finally begin to rebuild that which was lost.
The tall, slender, white-bearded Prophet Nistal walked over to Lord British and Fire Lotus.
My dear Fire Lotus, you are mistaken. We may have won this battle, my lord, but the war is not over,
said Nistal.
Lord Shadowrain was not destroyed. The ancient forbidden dark magic which now courses through his veins have made him far too powerful to be killed by conventional means. He has been seriously wounded and transported to a far-off planet in another universe. Lord Shadowrain will return at the full head of a powerful army to conquer New Britannia in 40 years, at the time of the next lunar eclipse.
Nistal, you are truly a wise prophet, but are you certain of this?
Asked Lord British.
Yes, my lord, of this I am certain,
replied Nistal.
How will we stop Lord Shadowrain when he returns?
Asked Lord British.
The Avatar barely managed to defeat him, at the cost of his own life.
The Avatar's physical form was destroyed by the mystical energies unleashed by Lord Shadowrain, but his soul is eternal,
said Nistal.
It was shattered into 35,000 fragments, which were carried through the portal to your home planet, Earth. These soul fragments now reside in the most worthy of Earth's inhabitants. Over the next 40 years, these avatars will be drawn here to New Britannia and compete amongst themselves to determine who will be the one true avatar.
But will the avatar be revealed in time to stop Lord Shadowrain?
Asked Lord British.
Yes, I will work to ensure that happens. Until next we meet,
answered Nistel. He leered at the lovely fire lotus for a moment before vanishing in a cloud of white smoke.
Do you think Nistel's prophecy is true, my liege?
Asked Fire Lotus.
There are rumors that he is slowly going mad, and his others have recently reported seeing him talking to himself and inanimate objects on several occasions.
No doubt he would be acting strangely, considering how much time he has been spending in your fine establishment lately. I suspect Nistel is rather fond of you,
answered Lord British.
My liege,
stammered Fire Lotus as she blushed bright red.
Nistel did warn us about Lord Shadowrain's plans, and his past prophecies have proven to be true. So I see no reason to doubt him now,
replied Lord British.
I was so happy the day my younger half-brother James arrived here in New Britannia from Earth. We were so close growing up. I cannot believe how far he has fallen. I am grateful that my mother and stepfather did not live to see this day. For now, we must make sure that the Amulet of Vazur does not fall into the wrong hands.
Lord British cast a spell, and the shattered fragments rose from the ground and flew off into the sky to various remote parts of New Britannia.
And so it begins,
said Lord British, as he gazed up into the night sky. End of prologue. I am assuming that people in New Britannia physically age at roughly 1/4 of the rate they would here on Earth. Introduction. Mount Crendel, 4 years ago. Truth. A cold Arctic wind swept through Mount Crendel as it continued to snow heavily. A solitary, short, chubby figure, clad in a tattered brown robe, staggered across the mountainside. The young monk, Theodric, was beginning to regret his decision to sneak out of his monastery a week ago, after receiving a vision compelling him to come here. At the monastery, Theodric was one of the 5 monks currently writing sections of the History of New Britannia, Volume 1, an important responsibility for someone so young. He had been assigned the task based upon the Grand Abbot's personal recommendation to Lord British. Suddenly, Theodric found himself standing in a lush garden next to a crystal clear stream. His limbs no longer ached. In fact, he felt full of energy. Theodric looked down and saw that he was now clad in a comfortable white silk robe with blue trim and covered in mysterious golden runes which he could not decipher. In his right hand was a massive leather-bound book. Theodric could not decipher the writing on the cover or the content of the pages contained within. He peered into the stream and saw his face. He appeared to be at least 10 years older than he was now, complete with a full beard. Theodric also appeared to be in much better shape than he was now, with most of his excess body fat replaced with solid muscle. He heard a sound and looked up to see a lone white dove soar overhead towards the massive Tree of Knowledge atop a nearby hill. Theodric could see a beautiful red-haired woman in a black robe with red trim also covered in mysterious golden runes, standing beneath the tree, beckoning him. He did not recognize her face. Then everything suddenly turned to white, and he found himself back on Mount Crendel. In the distance, the shining beacon of light continued to beckon, but Theodric could go no further. He had been walking for hours and could no longer feel his limbs. Theodric collapsed from exhaustion and lost consciousness. A pack of hungry snow wolves spotted the unconscious figure and came charging out of the nearby woods. A hooded figure suddenly appeared next to Theodric's unconscious form. The hooded figure turned and looked in their direction. The snow wolves suddenly stopped in their tracks and began whimpering. They quickly turned around and ran off in the opposite direction. The hooded figure picked up Theodric and flung him over his shoulder. They both vanished in a flash of light. Theodric awoke to find himself in a mountain cave, clad in a warm, dry robe, and lying on a mat next to a burning fire. He could hear the loud roar of the snowstorm outside. An elderly, white, bearded, cloaked figure sat across the fire from him.
It's about time you woke up. You've been unconscious for 3 days,
said the old man.
Here, have some fine wine from Fire Lotus's tavern. It will warm you up a bit.
The old man handed Theodric a wine flask.
Thank you for rescuing me, kind sir. I am Theodric, a monk from St. Valdine's Monastery. Who are you?
Asked Theodric.
You may call me Nistel,
answered the old man.
The mad prophet Nistel?
Said Theodric.
I heard you were once an advisor to Lord British himself long ago. What happened to you?
I've been busy searching for the new Avatar for the past 36 years, for Lord Shadowrain will be returning soon, and only the Avatar will be able to defeat him once and for all,
answered Nistel.
But wasn't Shadowrain slain by the Avatar and Lord British 36 years ago?
Asked Theodric.
No, he was merely defeated. I have chosen you to help me locate the new Avatar and record the details of our journey for future generations. We will then help the Avatar recover the lost fragments of the Amulet of Vezir, for only an Avatar wielding the full power of the 9 Dragons can hope to stop Lord Shadowrain and his invading army,
said Nistel. He pulled out a small golden metal fragment out of his belt pouch and held it in the palm of his hand. The fragment began glowing faintly.
This will lead us to the new Avatar,
said Nistel.
What is it?
Asked Theodric.
It is a fragment of the Amulet of Virtue, which was worn by the original Avatar when he died battling Lord Shadowrain 36 years ago,
replied Nistel.
It is mystically linked to the new Avatar and will glow bright white when we find him or her.
Who are you really?
Asked Theodric.
Tell me the truth. I can sense when people are lying to me.
Ah, yes. One of your many hidden gifts. You are a learned man. Tell me what you know about the old gods,
said Nistel.
According to the Great Book of Aramis, long, long ago, Britannia faced a grave crisis known as the Great Cataclysm. On the moon Farallon, an enormous obsidian egg which had lain dormant in an underground cave for 1,000 years was struck by a dark magic spell cast by the evil wizard Sindar, the last surviving descendant of Mendark, who wanted revenge against Lord British for the crimes he committed against his ancestors. Sindar himself would later be hunted down and killed in a magic duel by Moriah, leader of the Council of Mages on New Britannia. The newly hatched Star Serpent threatened to destroy Farallon, which would have had catastrophic consequences for Britannia. Lord British had the Avatar jump into the Well of Eternity at the Temple of Argosa. The Avatar was instantly transported to the underground cave in Farallon. After a long and fierce battle, both the Avatar and Star Serpent were seriously wounded. The people of Britannia assumed that both of them perished, and the moon Farallon exploded. After the Avatar failed to return and Farallon exploded, Lord British went to Catatet, atop Mount Helios, and cast an unknown powerful magic spell, which had been entrusted to him in an effort to summon the old gods for help. And in case you forgot, Catatet is the stone circle of gods. It's a 25-foot-tall obsidian statue, arranged in a circle. It's rumored to be the spot where the old gods first set foot on Britannia long, long ago. The old gods had originally visited us thousands of years ago in Britannia when we were still primitive cave dwellers. The old gods lived in a silver city named Gidara, which floated in the sky. They were masters of both magic and science. The old gods mated with our women because their females could no longer bear children. Hence, we are all descended from the old gods. In fact, it is said that the members of the 12 great houses who sit on the Great Council are descended from the members of the old gods' own Council of Elders. The old gods taught us how to make fire and clothing, tools and weapons, and gave us laws to govern us. After many years, the old gods left us, saying that their other children needed their help, but promised to return someday to aid us if necessary. The most famous of the old gods was warrior god Darhan, ruler of the old gods. Darhan had 3 sons. The eldest, Jonir, was a mighty warrior and sorcerer, but he had a heart as black as night. He took great delight in tormenting mankind. The second son, Beric, was wise and kind and a powerful sorcerer.
use his gifts to aid mankind. The youngest son, Galen, was a brave and powerful warrior who helped his brother Beric oppose Jonir's attempts to subjugate man. Eventually, Beric and Galen were forced to use their combined might to slay their evil brother, but not before Jonir managed to impart much of his knowledge of dark magic to his secret apprentice. As we learned 36 years ago, his secret apprentice was Lord Shadowrain. Among the other old gods was a wise and powerful renegade whose true name has been lost to the sands of time. A brilliant scientist, this inventor of time travel technology was one of the three founders of their society, the warrior god Tharhan and the female mage god Cyril being the other two, and was highly respected by the other old gods. He called himself Nistor, and he strongly disagreed with some of the less enlightened members of the Council of Elders who felt that the less developed civilizations should worship them as gods and serve as slave labor. Nistor resigned from his position on the Council of Elders, and left Gadara soon after the old gods originally departed from Britannia in order to explore time and space on his own. Of all the old gods, Nistor had spent the most time interacting with our people and developed a real fondness for us. He promised to return someday to see how we were doing, but this has not been since his departure all those years ago. Upon casting the spell, the 30 obsidian statues began glowing bright white and emitted beams of energy which caused a column of white light to form in the center of the circle where Lord British was standing. Lord British was rapidly propelled upwards into the sky by the column of light as astonished members of the Great Council looked on. Meanwhile, the people of Britannia began to panic and ran for cover as the smallest fragments of Farallon began striking the planet as meteorites, demolishing structures and causing numerous fires. When all seemed lost, the floating city of Gadara suddenly appeared in the sky high above Castle Britannia. All Britannians were instantly transported to Gadara. Our people witnessed the destruction of the planet from the depths of space as the largest fragments of Farallon smashed into our planet, causing it to explode. The old gods used something called a hyperdimensional drive to transport their city through the vortex to a parallel universe where Farallon had only partially been destroyed. These parallel universes originally came into existence long ago when the Avatar shattered the Gem of Immortality in order to make Mendark mortal once again and allowing him to be slain. This parallel world was uninhabited because its former inhabitants were not visited by the old gods in the distant past and ended up killing each other in barbarian clan wars. After relocating us here to New Britannia, the old gods helped us rebuild all we had lost by providing us with advanced knowledge, technology, and materials. After several years, Tharhan and the rest of the old gods departed our new world to explore other realms. Soon after the old god Silver City of Gadara left Mount Krendor and soared off into space, both Lord British and the Avatar suddenly reappeared in a flash of light in Castle New Britannia. The Great Council was in session, with no memory of what happened since their disappearance. When news of their reappearance spread to the general populace, some of the people wondered why Lord British now appeared to have a more youthful appearance, but most people overlooked this fact because they were just happy to have their beloved ruler back. The Book of Aramis suggests that some of the old gods never left and may still walk among us, but today, most of the people believe that Aramis's account of the Exodus and founding of New Britannia is merely a fable, and that the old gods never really existed at all.
Said Theodric.
Really? Is that what you young people believe today? What would you say if I told you that everything described in the Book of Aramis was true?
Asked Nistor.
How could you possibly know that?
Asked a skeptical Theodric.
Because I was there to witness it,
replied Nistor.
We wouldn't have these problems with Lord Shadowrain today if Tharhan had simply followed my advice and personally dealt with his son Jonir before he began down the path to darkness. I guess he was blinded by a father's love for his children.
You knew Tharhan personally?
Asked a stunned Theodric.
Indeed, a brave and powerful man, but certainly not the wisest,
replied Nistor.
Stubborn as a mule, loved beautiful young women and wine. Not as much as I do, of course.
You still haven't answered my original question. Who are you?
Asked Theodric.
I am Nistor, although in the past I have also gone by the name Hawkwind and Time Lord. You must promise me never to reveal my true identity to anyone. For over 5,000 years, I have traveled through time and space, and while helping those in need, made many enemies, who would like nothing better than to see me dead. That is why I altered my physical appearance after I left the city of Gadara long ago. I deeply regret that I was not in Britannia at the time of the Great Cataclysm. Had I foreseen the rise of Sintar, perhaps I could have done something to stop him. Contrary to popular belief, despite our mastery of time travel, the old gods are not all-knowing. Thankfully, the summoning spell I had entrusted Lord British with on my last visit to Britannia in my guise as Time Lord was successful, and the majority of Britannians were saved and relocated here to New Britannia. About 200 years ago, my time ship was badly damaged following a hostile encounter with a Genrazi battlecruiser, and I was forced to crash land here on Mount Crendor. Based on this civilization's current rate of development, suitable replacement parts for my ship's damaged quantum field generator won't be available for approximately another 2,000 years. In the meantime, as far as the world is concerned, I am simply the mad prophet Nistel,
answered Nistel. Nistel noticed Theodric's puzzled expression.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Said Nistel.
Forgive me, sometimes I do tend to ramble on a bit. Theodric, you are about to play a pivotal role in the history of New Britannia.
So why did you choose me to aid you in your quest?
Asked Theodric.
You remind me a lot of your grandfather, Tiberius, at this age,
replied Nistel.
You knew my grandfather?
Asked a surprised Theodric.
I never got the opportunity to know him. He died before I was even born.
That is most unfortunate. Like you, he was extremely bright and inquisitive. Always spoke his mind,
said Nistel.
We often debated long into the night about many topics such as philosophy, law, politics, and science. He rose from humble beginnings to become the greatest scholar of his era. That is why Lord British chose him to write his biography, Lord British, The Path of Virtue.
I know. Lord British's biography is still required reading at school today,
replied Theodric.
Did you know my grandmother as well?
Of course. When I first met Talia, she was an incredibly beautiful, fiery-tempered, powerful young mage. The exact opposite of your grandfather. Nobody thought that they would make a good couple, but I knew they were meant to be together. I introduced them to each other, and as you know, they ended up having a very long and happy life together,
said Nistel.
By the way, how is your grandmother doing these days?
Nistel smiled as his eyes briefly glowed. That evening, as Theodric slept, Nistel teleported out of the cave. In a moonlit clearing in the woods north of Libris stood a small wooden cottage. A wisp of grey smoke rose from the chimney. A white-bearded wizard sat on a rocking chair on the porch, smoking on a long bamboo pipe. In front of the cottage, a young female elf was practicing her fire magic. Lord Baldrith stopped smoking on his pipe and said,
Lanthuthel, try that again. I want you to envision the fire forming in your hands. Shape it into a ball and let it loose upon your enemy.
Lanthuthel concentrated and uttered the words of magic. A small ball of fire formed in her hands, and she hurled it at the plate armor-covered scarecrow standing in the distance. The fireball found its target, and the scarecrow erupted into flames. Lord Baldrith cast the ice spell Douse to extinguish the flames.
Excellent, my dear,
said Lord Baldrith as he smiled.
To think, just a month ago, you had trouble forming a fireball. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Master,
replied Lanthuthel.
You are such a great teacher.
Indeed he is,
said Nistel, who had suddenly appeared behind Lanthuthel.
Godfather,
exclaimed Lanthuthel as she turned around and gave him a big hug.
I haven't seen you for so long.
Yes, my child. I've been rather busy searching for the new avatar,
replied Nistel.
I see that Lord Baldrith has taught you well. You've made considerable progress since I last saw you 3 months ago.
It is good to see you, Master,
said Lord Baldrith, as he rose from his rocking chair and walked over to shake Nistel's hand.
Lanthuthel gives me too much credit. She has a natural gift for magic, which is rare even among Sindarin elves. Thank you once again for entrusting me with her training in the mystic arts.
Lord Baldrith, you were my finest student. It was only natural that you would be the one to train Lanthuthel,
said Nistel.
By the way, how's that staff holding up?
It has served me well all of these years,
replied Lord Baldrith, grasping the long, curvy staff with red gem on top.
I always thought that this was a fine graduation present, Nistel. As a matter of fact, just the other day I had to retrieve it from an annoying imp who stole it.
I'm sure you taught him the error of his ways,
said Nistel.
Indeed. I won't need to worry about him ever returning here to bother us again,
replied a grinning Lord Baldrith.
How is my brother Carlin doing?
Asked Lanthirthel.
He is busy tracking down a lead which he hopes will lead him to the dark elf archer Elire Ben Shademaster, who slew your parents,
said Nistel.
Did I ever tell you how your father, Arathwan, saved my life long ago soon after my arrival on New Britannia?
No, godfather,
replied Lanthirthel.
I would very much like to hear that story.
Well then, let's go inside and have a seat around the fireplace,
said Lord Baldrith.
I'll boil us a kettle of water and we can have some nice hot tea while listening to Nistel's tale.
Lord Baldrith, Lanthirthel, and Nistel entered the cottage. Nistel would not end up teleporting back to the cave on Mount Crendor until 4 hours later. The next morning, the snowstorm ended and the sun came out. As Theodric was finishing packing up their supplies, Nistel walked over to him and handed him a well-crafted oak long staff.
Take this,
said Nistel.
You will need it during our long journey. I assume you have been trained in its use.
Yes, I have,
replied Theodric.
In fact, the Grand Abbot said that I showed such a natural proficiency with it that he assigned me to the task of training new monks how to use it to defend themselves. Do you expect us to encounter many dangerous foes on this journey?
Indeed,
said Nistel.
Lord Shadow Knight's minions are everywhere, and they will do whatever it takes to prevent the new Avatar from appearing to oppose their master's return.
I see,
replied Theodric.
Won't you need a weapon to defend yourself as well?
No,
said Nistel.
In addition to my innate abilities, I have also mastered all the schools of magic. Trust me, we'll be fine.
Theodric suddenly had an uneasy feeling as Nistel smiled at him. Meanwhile, at a warehouse in the port town of Gerald, located on the southwestern tip of Novia, a large crowd had gathered to hear Marius, the handsome, charismatic young leader of the newly formed Home Guard, speak.
My fellow New Britannians, we face a crisis of epic proportion. These past decades, our world, our home, has been invaded by offworlders, each claiming the mantle of our greatest hero. A mere 36 years after the Avatar gave his life to halt the evil of Lord Shadowrain, these pretenders claim to fill his boots. And yet, while these false Avatars are small of heart, their impact has been all too large. They have gorged themselves on the property of defenseless farmers, merchants, and travelers. They have quenched their thirst for blood with the lives of innocent civilians. And when not content to merely pillage and murder, they have slaked their vile lusts upon our women. And where is the protection owed to us? While our sons are bloodied and our daughters violated, what shelter have our hard-earned taxes purchased? Lord British has done nothing to stop the influx of off-worlders and precious little to curb their actions. For our homes, for our wives, and for our children, we have no choice. It is up to us to take up arms and let these invaders know that they are not welcome in New Britannia,
said Marius.
But Marius, what can we do to stop these off-worlders? There have been numerous reports of slain off-worlders coming back to life as if nothing had happened,
asked a beautiful young blue-eyed blonde woman in the audience.
Yes, it is true that these off-worlders are quite resilient, but they can be destroyed. Fire, decapitation, just some of the tools the Home Guard has found to be effective,
replied Marius.
And we can teach those who have the will to do what we must. So, who will fight for our homes and our dreams? Who has the courage to turn back this tide? Who will stand with New Britannia? Who will stand with us?
Death to the off-worlders! All hail Marius! All hail the Home Guard!
Chanted the crowd as they began waving their swords, battle axes, and sharp farm implements in the air. Later, after the crowd dispersed, Marius secretly met the blonde woman backstage.
I've missed you so much,
exclaimed Marius.
Me too,
replied the woman.
It's been so hard for me to get away from my husband.
As they embraced and passionately kissed.
That went even better than I expected,
said the woman.
I think we managed to recruit another 100 members to our cause.
Well, I know I am merely the public face of the Home Guard, my dear,
replied Marius.
You are the one writing the speeches and providing most of the financial support for training and weapons. But Vostra, will you ever tell me your real name?
In time, lover. Right now, I think we should concentrate on other things,
said Vastra with a devilish grin. End of introduction. Sir Style Tekel presents The Avatar Chronicles 1, Return of the Avatar. Directed and produced by Lord Baldrith. Writer and music supervisor, Gabriel Nightshadow. Casting Director and Court Jester, Time Lord. Assistant Casting Director and Director of Public Relations, Amber Rain. The cast appearing in this episode are as follows. Static Grazer as Lord Shadowrain. Duke Gregor as the original Avatar. Little Geek Lost as Fire Lotus. Lord Baldrith as Nistal. Avatar Acid as Theodric. Indy Martin as Lanthirthal. Sarge as Marius. Majorius 70 as Vastra. Lacrobat, Asclepius, Chips 36 and Elizabeth as the crowd. With Cypher Azmad as Lord British and starring Asclepius as the Great Story Weaver. Music credits for this episode. Soliloquy by Matthew Pablo at www.matthewpablo.com. Vera Coker's Demise by Elliot Corley at www.opengameart.org. Rise of Spirit by Alexander Zelenov at www.opengameart.org. A Winter Tale by Johann Brod at www.opengameart.org. World Travel by Dan Noflicek at www.opengameart.org. Flights of Fancy by Elliot Corley at www.opengameart.org. The Fall of Arcana, Epic Game Theme Music, by Matthew Pablo at www.matthewpablo.com. Hall of the Ancients by Elliot Corley at www.opengameart.org. Last Minute by Horrorpen at www.opengameart.org. Medieval Theme 1 by Alexander Zelenov at www.opengameart.org. Painted Dreams Mock-up by Matthew Pablo at www.matthewpablo.com. March of May by Mike Cannon Singh at www.opengameart.org. Stay tuned for the next episode in this dramatic adventure.